Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Pink Glasses Convo, or PGC for short. I am your host, Olaolua. Some people like to call me Ola, and I think that's the easy way, but I love them all the same. On today's episode, I'm going to be talking about one really interesting topic, comparison, and how it steals more than joy. So if you want to grab a cup of coffee, a glass of water, or don't even grab anything at all. If you're driving, please grab your steering. Besides that, let's just talk about how I feel about this, right? Catch you on the other side. I think it's important for me to start this conversation by saying that comparison is something that we all have dealt with one way or another. Either we compared ourselves to other people, or people compared us to other people. Anyhow, we have all been in that boat. We have all crossed that path where we were compared to someone else. I mean, I think this episode in itself, you know, was conceived and birthed in all the grammar by my own experience and comparison. And if you've listened to the other episodes, if this is your first time, welcome. I try to be vulnerable. I'm learning. It's something I'm learning to do. It's something that has been really hard for me. I know that when I say vulnerable and people are like, that's not vulnerability. But trust me, like, this is my definition of vulnerability. So, I think it was in 2021, and, you know, I follow, and I'm not going to say a specific name, you know, but I do follow someone I would call an acquaintance, not a friend. And, you know, she's doing so well and doing a lot of things that, like, I thought 5-10 years ago, maybe not 10, 5 years ago, that I would be doing right now, you know, like nonprofit work, community development, you know, like just being out there and community work and working with volunteers and being on the field and things like that. If you only know me as a family therapist, I love being on the field. Like that, I think that supersedes my love for family therapy. I love being on the field. I love interacting with people. I love building communities and things like that. Today's not about my interests, so I won't go deep into that. But, you know, like, I follow on social media, and we all know social media makes comparison a lot worse now. And every time I see, like, her feed or her post, I'll just be like, oh my goodness, like, get out of my face. I mean, I didn't say that out loud. I'm cool, right? I'm cool, I'm calm, I'm collected. You know, I don't like trouble. Like, I'm a very nice girl, I promise. And so, I wasn't even aware, or maybe I was, and I just wasn't ready to admit, but I was so deep into, like, it had gone from comparison to envy. Like, if I wasn't careful, it would go past envy. And just one day, I think God was just, like, done with my attitude. And I was just scrolling through her feed, and, you know, like, she'd gotten, like, an admission for a master's and things like that. And I was rolling my eyes again, and the Holy Spirit was like, you already have your master's. And I was like, oh, wait, I do have my master's. And I feel like from there henceforth, the Lord just really began to break me and allow me see that I'd started to walk in envy. And I know envy is like, it always seems like it's for unbelievers, right? You know, it's like, no, I cannot envy, you know, I don't envy. But a lot of times, if we look deeper, we are actually walking in envy. And so the Lord began to break it down to me and help me realize that a lot of things I was even comparing myself to the person about, to her about, I already had it, one, two. And even if I didn't have it, I was walking in a path that the Lord has created for me. And I needed to be satisfied with that. But that was hard. And trust me, it still is. I mean, I think to be honest and like say how it is or how I felt, it was like I got so caught up in the glitz and the glam and everything I was seeing, which I know at the back of my head, or I knew at the back of my head, that it wasn't all that there is to it. But like my people will say, I just lost focus. You know, I just lost focus, and it had eaten so deep into my personal, how I viewed her or what she was doing. Like, I couldn't even appreciate all that God is doing through her in our community. And I was just so deep and so into myself. So I think that a lot of the times, talking more about like believers, or we believers and people in faith, we sometimes think that we are immune to these things. Maybe it's just me. I don't want to talk for everybody. But I think at the back of our mind sometimes, like when we see all these things, I think works of the flesh, right? It's like, it's for unbelievers. Like, I've grown, you know, I'm not there yet. You know, we're talking about envy and comparison and jealousy. You know, sometimes we mask them and we color them, we present them, we package them in a different way. You know, we try to give reasons for why we are doing that. You know, we can say, oh, I'm just concerned, or this person is not doing it the way that I want it to be done. You know, that's why I'm feeling like this. Oh, God. If it's envy, say it's envy. Let's tackle it. Right, I feel like a sin that is exposed and acknowledged, you are able to walk around it and be like, help me. Like, number one, cry to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Like, I can see that this is going on in my life. One, it doesn't make God love you less. Two, it doesn't make you less of a believer. It just means that you have to grow in that area, right? For instance, I think 2 weeks ago, like, I had some feedback from a couple of people, and I shared this as a quote as well, is I had feedback on like different things in like different areas of my life in like 24 hours. And I was just like, wait, what's like, am I that bad? You know, I'd always been so proud of myself, or had pride in myself, that, oh, I take correction very well, I take feedback very well, please send me feedback. Or, you know, this doesn't, I'm not saying that, I'm learning, I promise. But maybe because it was just from different people, or maybe because I needed to acknowledge that I was really bad with corrections, I was like, somewhere at the back of my mind, I was like, don't tell me that. Why will you be correcting me? Does that be telling me to do this? Does that mean I don't know my job? I was just like, madam, you cannot take correction. And I was just like, Lord, help me. Like, Lord, help me. I'm not always like that. There are other times when I'll just dismiss the hospital and be like, this is not for me. Right? Where my people are at, where the Holy Spirit is convicting you, and you're like, this is not for me, Lord. I have a message for you, my brother. It is for you. It is for you. So I think we need to start from acknowledging that we can go through these things. We can have envy. We can compare ourselves with other people. we can do that because we are human. We are working and growing ourselves from the inside out. You know, we are transforming ourselves and renewing our mind, but we still have a long way to go, and that is fine, right? You see, the thing is, comparison makes us feel disappointed in ourselves. It makes us seek contentment in places and things that we shouldn't. And that's a very, very interesting and important part of comparison. Now, I'm looking at it from me, you know, you as a person comparing yourself with someone. It's a whole different ballgame if it's, you know, people around you and friends and things like that, or just other situations that put you in that position where you're being compared to other people. In that case, they're the ones that need that conviction. So I feel like it kind of shuts our eyes from all the things that God has done, or all the things that we have. For instance, in the story that I gave earlier, is one, I had forgotten, imagine forgetting that you have a whole degree. I'd forgotten that I had a whole degree. Even if I didn't, even if I wasn't having my master's, God had already done so much for me. God has done so much for me. And he's still going to do so much for me above and beyond all that I can ever ask or think. He's doing for her what he wants to do with her. And that's fine. It might be the kind of picture that I wanted for myself. It might be the kind of picture that I thought that I'm going to be. What if I'm still going to walk in that path? What if that path is not where the Lord wants me to walk? Imagine me now trying to like push myself, like, because this person is doing community work, then me too, I must do community work. All of us, we do this community work together. What will end up happening is that, one, I'll be walking out of God's will. And even if community work is the will that the Lord is calling me to, I am walking in it from a wrong heart. From a very wrong heart. And the truth is, when the heart that you're using to do something is not right, I feel, using I statements, I feel that it thwarts the idea and the, you know, the core of what you're doing. Like one of my amazing friends will always say, before the act, let the heart be right. Like I always try to ask myself, try. Key word there is try. I always try to ask myself, why am I doing this thing? Like, if I'm invited to a group and, you know, I'm things like that, or I join a group and everybody's talking and everybody's conversing, I try to take a pause and be like, why am I responding in this group? Or why am I part of this group? Or why am I deciding to do this? You know, for instance, why am I deciding to start a podcast? I try to make sure that the heart behind what I'm doing is right. If I'm engaging in something just because I saw somebody do it and I also want to do it, my heart is not right. Even if it is to God, it might not be an acceptable sacrifice. And I'm not talking for you, Lord, but it's the truth. To the Lord, it might not be an acceptable sacrifice. Because why? The Lord is looking at the heart, is looking at the core and the reason why you're doing what you're doing. Right? So taking it back a bit, I just want to say, like, when you're comparing yourself, if you find yourself in that habit of constantly comparing yourself, constantly being focused on what other people are achieving, constantly being focused on what you have not achieved, constantly being focused on, oh, I thought I'm going to be in this position, but I'm not there. Flash news, breaking news, you will never be content with where you are. Even if you are not where you were, even if God has done 99.9 things for you, that 0.1% that he hasn't done and he has seen in somebody else, you will never be content with what he has done. Never. Also, apart from the fact that you are even not content, it also now goes that you start to fill yourself up with things you don't need to fill yourself up with. You know, like I said, it grows into envy. It grows into jealousy. And if you lack self-control, it will grow into hatred. Hatred is not, it's not a sudden flight. It doesn't just happen. It grows. it increases. It starts from something, you know, from this to this to this. And if you're not careful, if you're not looking at your path, and I'm saying you, myself included, if you're not looking at your path, you would have gone so far deep that you will not even realize it. You will not get to that point where you are doing things because of other people. You are buying things because of other people. You are working in things. You are choosing career paths. You are choosing jobs because of other people. Come on. No. That is never the way to go. And I think one thing else that I'm thinking a lot. I think one thing else that really feeds that ideology is this mentality of like, and I used to read this thing a lot back in the day, but it's like, you know, one person graduated at 24 and had to wait 10 years to have a job. But somebody graduated college at 34 and got a job immediately. Why should my joy be dependent on the failure of another person or the lack of another person? Flash news again. There are people that graduate at 24 and have a job at 24. It doesn't mean you are less of a person. It's okay, right? I'm not saying the pain is okay. I'm not saying the lack is okay, but I shouldn't say, you know, maybe this person will not get it. Maybe this person will have to wait for it. No. It's a very, very unhealthy and very wrong ideology. My joy should not be dependent on somebody else's failure. It should never be dependent on somebody else's failure. Never. Never. Others don't have to be sad for me to be happy. No. They don't have to be. So, I feel like these things are wrong, and this ideology and this mentality also feed this notion of comparison. You know, it's like some people married at the age of 25 but had to wait 5 years to have a child, and they didn't have a child until 30, whereas some people married at the age of 30 but got a child immediately. I get that there might be a bigger picture, but it just doesn't sit well with me. It doesn't sit well with me. I think it feeds that notion of comparison. And I think it would be, again, I'm thinking, it's going to be an unproductive episode, and I will leave people living with a heart, like a heavy heart, and, you know, of conviction and all of that. While that is good, I just felt it wasn't going to be enough. It wasn't going to be appropriate to just leave it at that and just say, you have envy, you can't compare, you compare with yourself, bye-bye. Go and sin no more. I think it was just very important to just end this with, how do you overcome, you know, comparison and indirectly envy? I think they're products of each other, but we can talk about that later. You know, so how do we overcome envy? What do I think is the way to overcome comparison? I don't know. I'm even starting to mix them up. Comparison. I think there are two ways about it. You can't mix match. You can't walk around it. You can't try to fit it in. If you're hungry, the only way you can solve hunger is to eat. If you find yourself comparing yourself a lot, then you need to start being content with where you are. I think you compare, be content. I feel like comparison sometimes is a fruit of lack of contentment. So if you do find yourself in that mix, if you do find yourself in that place, is learn to be content. But the truth is, how do I learn to be content? Do I keep telling myself, Olaoluwa, you must be content. Olaoluwa, you must be content. That might work if you go through different self-help and motivational books. I wish you all the very best. But contentment, love, joy, which come with contentment, you know, is you love, you have joy, you have peace, you know, you don't see somebody else's progress and your heart to do bim bim. you have peace over it. I think the way you can get that contentment is to feed yourself with good things. And by good things, I mean the things of God. And grow yourself in the fruit of the Spirit. How do you grow yourself in the fruit of the Spirit? By the word of God. How do you have the word of God? You study, you talk, you attend church, you attend community group, you know, you do all that fun stuff. You can only walk out of comparison, envy, and all of that when you fill yourself with the good things. And by filling yourself with good things, then you start learning contentment. The Holy Spirit helps you that you're able to work around it and, you know, deal with it and melt it down and break it down and get yourself out of it. So I think that's one way. I think that's the major way, to be honest. I think that's the major way. There are no 21 ways to deal with comparison. Maybe there is, but if you do know, please share. I would love to know. In the meantime, be content. And the way you can be content again is fill yourself with good things. Fill your heart with good things. Fill your heart with the word of God. Fill your heart with the help of the Holy Spirit. Be attentive to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit says, you have started again, be like, yes, Holy Spirit, I've started again. Help me. Be my strength. Help me to overcome this. Help me to be content with where I am. I think also something else that is really helpful is finding yourself, you know, finding your purpose. And no, it's not that kind of finding your purpose that you think, I promise. I do have episodes coming on about that from different perspectives. But just finding yourself and finding joy in what you do, finding joy in the job that you do, you know, it might not be where you are. Doesn't mean you're going to be in that job or have that profession or have that business forever, you know. So finding joy in it, finding satisfaction some way in it, because whether you like it or not, at least all things being equal, you kind of do not have a choice most of the time except to stay in that job. So you do have the option of, one, stay in that job, be miserable and hate it and don't enjoy it and still be there, or two, acknowledge the fact that the job, the business, the career, the place that you are, it's not really where you want to be. However, you're going to choose to find joy in it. You're going to choose to find contentment in it. You're going to choose to make it fun. You know, it might be that process of really acknowledging and finding fun and making it interesting for yourself that you will begin to find where the Lord wants to meet you or where the Lord is taking you to. A lot of people have found purpose and faith and self in their season of, God, this is not what I want to do. A lot of people have found themselves there. Lastly, or thirdly, that I'm thinking about or that I thought about is being thankful. Again, I feel that Thanksgiving is a weapon. It's a secret weapon that we all do not use. We all are not. We either privy of, but we just don't get it, or we are not privy of at all. I feel like Thanksgiving is a big weapon. It's a big weapon. If you're finding that you're not content, if you're finding that it's so hard for you to just enjoy what you're doing, enjoy, again, job, business, school. And I'm saying job because, you know, but it could be anything. It could be a season. It could be your marriage. It could be your relationship. You know, it could be your friendship. It could be your community. If you're finding that you're in that position, give thanks. Trust me. Just give thanks. Just give thanks. If you're finding it hard to start worship songs, thank you, technology. Thank you to all the tech bros and tech sisters out there. Play worship songs. Go on YouTube, Apple Music, Spotify, all of that. Play songs. Play worship music. Soak yourself in it. There are so many playlists and albums. play it, you know, find, ask your friends, what songs are you listening to? There's so many songs out there. So many. Soak yourself in it. If you're finding it hard to sing, if you are disappointed in your voice, I will not condemn you, I promise. Soak yourself. Somebody is already singing it for you. Just soak yourself there. Just soak yourself in it. Spend some time every day. Just say, Lord, this week, I just want to thank you. I just want to be grateful. I don't know what I'm grateful for. I don't feel like being grateful, but I'm choosing to be grateful. And that really, a lot of times, it's kind of all that matter. So, just wanted to end today's podcast on that very high note. I do hope you feel uplifted. I do hope that this episode has blessed you, like, even while talking, like, I am definitely getting nuggets and, like, making notes, like, oh my goodness, Olaluwa, you have to be, you know, you have to do this as well. So, in talking about worship songs and talking about playlists, I will love to say that, drum rolls, Lighthouse playlist is now on Apple Music. So you can just search Lighthouse, or the link is also going to be in the description box of this episode and every other episode. You can just access our playlist on Apple Music and on Spotify. For all my people with Boomplay, AudioMac, and all the other ones, we will get there in the name of Jesus. Just be patient with this amazing human being who is both the host, the graphics designer, the content creator, content manager, and everything in one. So yeah, but I was really excited I was able to get on Apple Music. So I hope that our playlist will be helpful. The music is not just from our song of the week or Sunday special. It is also from just songs that are inspiring me, you know, personally. And I do have my own personal playlist as well, but that's on my personal page at OlaoluwaBakare on every single platform. I trust you, it's not Hot Babe 256. I ain't doing that. So I also have my own personal playlist, which is a bit bulkier and fuller and things like that. So that's kind of all that I have this week. In our tradition, the song for the week is Your Love Defends Me by Hannah Kerr. I hope I said the name right. It's an amazing song that just blessed my heart and continues to bless my heart every time I listen to it. She's my favorite artist too, I promise. And the quote for the week is, the church is a place to come as you are and not remain as you are. A lot of times I get in conversations and, you know, people, it always sounds like people are wanting the church. When I say the church now, I'm talking about church building, like, you know, congregation. It's like, oh, I just want to, you know, I should be accepted. Yeah, you're accepted, but you cannot remain that way, right? So have a great week, guys. Have a great weekend. Let me get your feedback. Feel free to let me know how you feel. Feel free to please and please and please share this episode or the other episodes. If this is your first time, feel free to catch up on all the other episodes. It's pretty interesting, I promise. Feel free to catch up on the other episodes and share with friends and family. And even the enemies. No enemies. I'm trusting that all my listeners are great people. No one has enemies. So until the next episode, take care. And don't forget that Jesus loves you. Bye.